when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all you Blood River Radio family out there. I'm going to try to go faster than I usually do because we have a huge jam-packed show. We have seven or eight precious guests coming in tonight, and some of them you know very well. Some of them I've known for many, many years, since I was a young buck almost. But this is a very solemn day. A very solemn month, people. You've heard us talk about Charlottesville many times. August the 12th of 2017, we were up there, and to quote Paul Fromm, he said, Charlottesville changed everything. So it's going to be a very solemn show. If you want to call in, I guess that's okay, but we're pretty cram-packed tonight. But anyway, people, you know what we always do here? We always go to a prayer. We never go anywhere on Blood River Radio without saying a prayer. So if you will, just bow your heads, and I'm going to do a prayer right off the cuff like I usually do. Almighty Father, the maker of heaven and earth, the God of all the seen and unseen, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Eddie Miller and Blood River Radio, the God of Liberty News Radio and TPC, the God of all of our family, Lord, please protect us, continue to guard us, continue to give us your grace, and Lord, if you will, please, we're dedicating this show, oh Lord, we're dedicating this program to our prisoners, our fellow white men who are still locked up, riding in prison in a Virginia prison up there, just because they had the gall to defend themselves against a bunch of feral animals. So Lord, if you will stay with us, let us always ride to the sun of the gunfire. Let us know who we're supposed to fight and how to do it. I ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. People, we're going to have a bunch of guests on tonight. It's going to be bunched up in little segments, and we don't have any donors this week, so but that's okay, that's fine. We're going to go straight to our first guest right now. We have none other than James Edwards, and listen, the reason I want James to open the show is because, listen, we want to do this as historically correct as possible. When I went to Charlottesville, Virginia, I could not have gone without TPC. James sent me up there. And with a good grace of the donors, political cesspool listeners and donors, people who follow to TPC, and rightfully so, they sent in money, or I could not have gone. And James, that was the finest broadcast that probably anybody's ever done. So anyway, listen, I forgot. We did have a donor, Nancy. She calls me her little brother, and she's my big sister. Nancy Hitt. She sent a donation in this week. I'm sorry, Nancy. I'm sure you're listening, but I'm kind of wound up tonight. I'm sure you know why. Anyway, people, we're going to bring in none other, and I've always called him my son, Pappy's son. We used to call him in the bean field years and years ago when we were both a lot younger. Winston Smith named him Baby Boy. How you doing tonight, Baby Boy, Mr. James Edwards?
Eddie, it's great to be with you. It's so hard to believe that it's been 5 years since that fateful day in Charlottesville. Of course, 5 years ago tonight, the five-year anniversary will, of course, be on August the 12th of this year. But 5 years ago tonight, we were still a week shy of that. 5 years ago tonight, we still believed that the freedom of speech existed, that the freedom of assembly existed, that you could get a permit that was backed by a judge, even at the 11th hour, and have the right to peaceably protest and demonstrate on the public square, which is a bedrock of what this country was supposed to be about. But of course, we learned better 5 years ago next week, and things have changed, of course, forevermore since then. But I'm reading from the Wikipedia entry. And it says, the Unite the Right rally was a white supremacist rally that took place in Charlottesville, Virginia on August the 12th, 2017. It included members of the alt-right, neo-Confederates, neo-fascists, white nationalists, neo-Nazis, Klansmen, and militia. Well, you know, of course, Eddie, when the BLM is actually burning down cities, they don't say, well, this rally included participants in this level of thuggery, this sort of rap sheet, this sort of criminality. To a man, everybody that I knew that was going to Charlottesville was upright, law-abiding, tax-paying, God-fearing, hard-working men, people like you and Gene Andrews and Rich Hamblin and so many of the other people you're going to be having on the program tonight. Of course, if you have thousands upon thousands of people, you're not going to know everybody there and be able to vouch for everything they've ever said or done or believed in their life. But we went up there, the people that I know, the reason we wanted to cover it was with, of course, the best of intentions, and that was to preserve the monument of the greatest American who ever lived, and that was Robert E. Lee. So off y'all went. Like any good general, I was about 300 miles behind the line, broadcasting the show from the comfort of the studio that night along with Keith Alexander. But if I do say so myself, Eddie, it was the best work we ever did. In 18 years of broadcasting in my career, and you were an integral part of so many of those years on TPC, now doing it here on Blood River for with years under your belt in that endeavor. But that show, pound for pound and minute for minute, was the best show TPC has ever broadcast. And credit where credit is due, you were the glue on that show. You were the reason it was so special. Of course, originally the plan was to alternate between speakers at the event and bring you on in alternating segments to offer your take live from the scene with people who were participants but were not speakers, just to get the man on the street's observations and take on the event. Well, of course, there never were any speakers. Nobody could have foreseen 5 years ago tonight that they were walking into a trap of historic proportions, a trap that was laid by the very law enforcement that was sworn to protect the right to assembly and speech, that was, of course, aided and abetted by the governor of Charlotte's of Virginia and the mayoral leadership of Charlottesville, Singer. Nobody could have anticipated that trap. I don't think anything like that had ever been laid before. And so rather than having speakers on, we were having victims and combatants on, people who had been bloodied and bruised by, of course, the people who were there to cause violence, and that being the Antifa and the BLM, the anarchists and the terrorists. But that night, Eddie, we had you on to open the show. And I went back and I actually listened to that broadcast. It was on the very day of the event. It was on a Saturday, August 12th, 2017. So you came on, and everybody that came on with you and everybody that came on after you during that program were giving eyewitness testimony while the emotions were still raw. I mean, you're talking about literally just minutes, no more than an hour or two after the events of that day, we were live and being able to capture it with eyewitness testimony, and obviously offer the truth, which has never been conveyed by the establishment media, and has never. It was a program unlike any other we ever did, and praise be to you for that. All the people you brought on that were there in your area, and also, of course, the guest that came on that night, Dr. Michael Hill, of course, of the League of the South, Henrik Palmgren of Red Ice TV, David Duke, Brad Griffin of Occidental Descent, and Simon Roche of South Africa. Those were the featured guests that night, in addition to you and the participants that you were able to gather. It was riveting. It was gut-wrenching. It wasn't meant to be entertaining, but you couldn't listen to that broadcast and be anything less than engrossed and enthralled. It was, again, and I say, the best show we ever did from start to finish.
You know, James, I don't know of any program anywhere that's ever done a greater show. I think that's that could be probably the show of the century, the show of the 50, for 50 years. I'm going to tell you something else, James. I was just a cog of gear in that machine. I'm going to tell you what, without TPC, The truth, the real truth, what actually happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, would never would have gotten out. I know there's some other people out there, you know, like Red Ice and probably some podcasts, but really, you know, TPC has been established for years and years and years, a huge audience, you know, syndicated on AM radio stations. I don't know how many, God only knows how many, a bunch, but I'm so proud, so very proud. God, I'm emotional, James. I'm so proud of being connected to that forever. No matter what happens to me and you, we will forever, we'll go to our grave being connected and together as brothers, going all the way back to the bean field. And you know what? That was our high water mark of not only TPC, but Blood River Radio. I've never been involved in anything like that. And it was so emotional. And I'd like to repeat, I'd like the people out there to realize how much of a debt, how much of a gratitude that everybody owes TPC for getting that out there. Political Cesspool was we had to have people behind the scenes. We had to have people monitoring, you know, social media and stuff like that, like Keith did that night. I mean, we were all works as integral parts. And I tell you, we had some, you nailed it. Well, James, we had people that were just, we still had stragglers coming in. We still didn't have all the guys that made it out of there. They were still straggling in from the battle scene. We had young kids there that had their living hell beat out of them by the police, and the cops just laughing at them and kicking them and beating them with batons. It was raw. You said it was just raw. It's gut-wrenching. It was. I've never been experienced like that with anything like that before or since, James.
Well, Eddie, listen, we had people being pepper sprayed. I think you got a little bit of that action. People beaten. They were on giving eyewitness testimony minutes after the thing. It was just a perfect circumstance of the timing meeting the occasion and us being there. Keith Alexander just got here. He was a part of that show. I know you want to have him on. Can't wait to hear what you do with the program this week and next.
We call it lightning in a bottle.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Well, dear people, we're right back. We're going to go right back to James Edwards. James is going to introduce another very special guest, another brother that I have known for years and years and years. Go ahead, James.
Well, Eddie, I just wanted to say before we bring Keith Alexander on, I really am looking forward to hearing Keith's take and the rest of the guests you have planned for this week and next. It's a 2-week, 5-year anniversary remembrance here on Blood River Radio. But yes, you know, and I should tell everybody, this whole thing started 20 years ago this year, it was 20 years ago, Eddie, that I was running for the state legislature, and I met you for the first time. And if you'd have told me that hot summer night in the summer of 2002, when I was 22 years old and trying to unseat the Speaker of the House as an independent, that 20 years later we'd have all these memories through radio and still be on the air and still be talking, I don't think any of us would have thought that, but God did, and so here yes. we are. And here with us, and another man who's shared so many of those memories and hours and bruises with us is Keith Alexander, and of course, Keith is a co-host on TPC, has worked with you for so many years in that capacity before you started Blood River, and Keith, you were on the program that night. Share your reflections with the audience about your take on Eddie's job that evening and what you heard, and just your reaction to everything falling apart on the ground there, nothing happening. In fact, going there and giving speeches to preserve the monuments of our heroes was the only thing that didn't happen that day. The one thing that was supposed to happen, everything else happened. Keith, take it.
Well, if it hadn't been for Eddie being there, I don't think there's no way that we could have given a show that is going to endure in the hearts and minds of people who are conservative and further to the right. We had the only live show there that I think really captured the essence of what was going on, and that was largely due to Eddie's efforts there. He got, not only did he give us interviews with people that we were expecting, like Simon Roach and David Duke and people like that, but he also just plucked people out of the crowd. And, you know, to my mind, that was the best interviews of the whole show. And with all of that information, I remember getting some kudos from people about coming up with the term the kill box to yes. describe what was going on with, you know, our people coming in there and then being told they had to get out by the police there. What it showed, first and foremost, was just how duplicitous and mendacious our government officials are in places like Charlottesville, Virginia. These are leftist hacks. I mean, the Bolsheviks in 1917 in Russia hold nothing, don't even hold a candle to the monsters that you guys ran into. And Eddie was there at ground zero, boots on the ground, with Michael Hill, with Brad Griffin, with all these other people. And he actually went through the whole thing with them. He saw what was happening firsthand. I'm sure he got pepper sprayed just like everyone else in there. Eddie, you know, what he did was a tribute to journalism. That's what, you know, reporting is all about. And Eddie, I don't think there is anyone in the history of journalism that did a better on the boots ground than you did that night.
Well, thank you, my brother. You're going to give me the big head yet. You know, I tell people, I happen to be there phrase that James said years ago when he first started TPC, we caught lightning in a bottle. We happened to be there, TPC. We happened to have a crew on the ground, and we were within feet of the melee. As a matter of fact, we're going to have our last guest on this series next week. I don't know if y'all know that. I think James knows about it. I don't know if you know about it, Keith. But we're going to have Michael Tubbs, a big giant Michael Tubbs. He's huge. You know how big Dr. Hill is. He's bigger than Michael Tubbs. He's bigger than Dr. Hill. I'd say 6'7", maybe. I think Dr. Hill said he weighed over 300 pounds, so not an ounce of fat on him. And there was this barrier that our guys had up on the shield wall, and I had gone right up to the shield wall, right, just feet from where they were fighting with the communists, the Antifa, and I was sending photographs back to TPC. And I remember James said, keep them coming, with my little dinky phone. Well, our guys dropped this barrier. It was wrenched from their hands. It was long, about 8 feet long, probably 2.5 feet wide, like a big fancy mahogany table or something. Well, I was wearing shorts, well, and running shoes, and just in case. And then this thing went right down both of my shins and landed on the arch of my feet, and the guys were fighting on top of that thing. I don't know how I survived broken feet. Well, here comes big Michael Tubbs, and I'm screaming, girl, get off my feet, get off my feet. Well, Michael Tubbs got one side of that table. I'm on the other one. I was straining every muscle in my body. Gave me just about a half inch, Keith, where I could get my feet out. And that of that guy. He's going to be on with Dr. Hill the very next week. They're going to close it out. You and James open it up. He's going to close it out. But Keith, you did one hell of a job that night. I remember I went back and listened to the archives, and nobody does it any better than you, Keith. You know, you bring that culture, that intellectual side in, kind of like Sam Dixon. You and Sam Dixon, cut out of the same cloth. But Keith, anything, if there's nothing else that you'd like to talk about, I'd like to ask you a question. But anything, okay. Anything you'd like to say? Okay. You know, in your opinion, I've just said Paul Fromm. To quote Paul Fromm, Paul Fromm said that Charlottesville changed everything. What in your opinion, what did it change? What did it change from the day before Charlottesville to the day after Charlottesville, Keith? In your opinion, go ahead, Keith.
It showed that the left and the right play by different rules in today's America. I think people like you, like Brad, like Michael Hill, like David Duke, all showed up there expecting fair play and a impartial government constabulary that was going to be there primarily to keep the peace.
Right. I think you could have anticipated violence, Keith, from the left, but you would have thought that the law enforcement would have done everything they could to negate that. But, yeah, go ahead. You're right.
Well, just like they did everywhere else, the fact that they had a black mayor and a left-wing governor, and they were both conspiring to harm one the people that had been given a lawful permit to have a demonstration, that, I think, is unprecedented. Nothing like that happened in the Civil Rights Movement. That didn't happen at Birmingham, Selma, Memphis, all of these places that go down in fabled history, supposedly. Selma, it's what happened there was you saw just how bad a government could be. I don't think there's a government in the world that could have done anything worse. The only thing they didn't do is pull out machine guns and mow you guys down.
Yeah, I think Keith, it was actually a Jewish mayor and a anti-white black radical vice mayor. I mean, so it was,
chief and a black police chief.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
See, so you had basically leftists. These people have no principles. They have no sense of fair play. They are monsters, and that's what came out. That was the lesson I drew out of that. We knew after that we were playing against a stacked deck, and there was nothing that had worked before that supposedly was magic like peaceful protest. Just drop that in the trash can. That is no longer the way that things are done in America.
Well, and Keith, and Eddie, I was in Selma, of all places, Selma, Alabama, just last week. Gene Andrews was there. And Keith, I'm going to talk to you on TPC a little later tonight. We'll compare and contrast what really happened in Selma vis-a-vis what happened in Charlottesville. But Eddie, this is your show by all means.
No, I brought you guys on, and I'm telling the audience I was thrilled. It had to be this way. James Edwards and Keith Alexander had to open this show. I'm trying to duplicate, go back in history and do it just like it was then. It had to be you guys. And if we don't run out of time, I'd like to ask Keith a question, or you can dive into James, since the first segment is not as long as the first second, because we have the commercials, the donors and stuff like that, the prayer. But Keith, is there any relationship between what happened in Charlottesville on that fateful day and what happened in January the 6th with that demonstration up there? Do you see any parallels there, Keith and or James?
Exactly the same thing. Again, people that had rose-colored glasses on that thought that somehow there was a magic to peaceful protest found out otherwise. It was, first of all, the people on the alt-right, as they called it at that time, at Charlottesville, and they lumped us in with that. I don't think we ever embraced that, but nonetheless, the alt-right learned then that they didn't play the government spoke with a forked tongue, the way the Indian chiefs used to say about the U.S. government. And the Tea Party types, the MAGA people, they found out the same lesson on January the 6th. You have to see, and they went after you in a so typically Jewish way. The Jews are, I think they just recently prosecuted and sentenced a 101-year-old former prison guard to 5 years in prison. They do the same thing. They're going after the lady in the Emmett Till case, trying to put her in jail. That's what they did. They put all of you guys, so many of you people had jail time. So many people,
Eddie's gonna talk about
everything
that,
else, the January 6th. This is just a total aberration from what had been set as the standard in the civil rights movement.
Eddie, five years ago this week, we opened up a show like this. It's an honor to open one up here on your end 5 years later. Thank you.
It's an honor for you guys. Guys, we run out of this time for this segment.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Marusso reporting. By an overwhelming 86-11 vote, the Senate Tuesday night gave final passage to a bill that ramps up health care and disability benefits for veterans exposed to burn pits and other toxins. The PACT Act of 2022 passed Tuesday night. Pat Toomey, who led the Republicans in stalling the measure, warned that it included what he calls a trick that would permit indiscriminate spending. And a school in Utah has removed books from the shelves.
Utah's largest public school district is defending its decision to remove 52 books that some parents view as pornographic. The Alpine School District has roughly 84,000 students. The district decided to pull the books by 41 authors from its library shelves after an internal audit flagged them as sensitive material without literary merit. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
I'm Tony Marusso for USA Radio News.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow offering the BOGO extravaganza right now on a whole slew of MyPillow products. Now you can find all sorts of great deals on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillow, six-piece towel sets, Roll and Go Anywhere pillows, much more, all priced buy one, get one free. Go to MyPillow.com/USA, use promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and find you some great MyPillow products. They're all available. Oh, by the way, you can also get Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase, but you have to go to MyPillow.com/USA or call 1-800-951-8175 and make sure you use the promo code, the buy one, get one extravaganza, going on right now at MyPillow.com.
A kidnapped girl's escape in Alabama has led to the discovery of two decomposing bodies and the arrest of a man now facing murder and kidnapping charges. Police got a call Monday morning from a driver about a 12-year-old girl walking alone along County Road 34 in Dadeville, Tallapoosa County. Sheriff Jimmy Abbott said Tuesday at a news conference the girl had been restrained to bedposts for about a week, according to the criminal complaint. Jose Paulino Pascal Reyes, 37, was arrested Monday about 25 miles away in Auburn on suspicion of first-degree kidnapping by U.S. Marshals and police, the sheriff said, adding other agencies are also on this case. U.S. job openings fell by the most in just over 2 years in June as demand for workers eased in the retail and wholesale trade industries. But overall, the labor market remains tight, allowing the Federal Reserve to continue raising interest rates. At least 4.2 million workers voluntarily quit their jobs in June and layoffs declined. This is USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, thank you for holding on. I'm so excited about this show, and I'm a very emotional person. Most people that know me, they know I'm emotional, really to a fault. I've tried to control my crazy temper, but I just get attached to people. I get attached to all kind of stuff like that, to events. And listen, I like to reiterate before we go to our other three precious guests. Back that day, August 12th, 2017, James Edwards, Keith Alexander manned the board back in Memphis, and they did, I think, probably the greatest job that's ever been done I've ever heard of. It was on the field. I don't know if anybody that's ever had a crew like that that went on the scene and broadcast from a live battlefield like that. And you know, people, thank God for TPC. I know me and James have had our ups and downs. Nobody knows that more than Keith. Me and Keith had ups and downs. We fight and beat each other, the hell out of each other, and make up. And then 10 minutes later, we're out drinking whiskey, you know. But anyway, thank you people. You owe a great debt to TPC, no matter what else you think about it, because that's one of the few outlets that's ever really, gave a really true picture of what happened that day in Charlottesville. And they can't take that away from TPC. And I would thank God Almighty I just happened to be there. We caught lightning in a bottle. Now I'm going to shut up, people. We have three of our other precious brothers. We got Rich Hamblin on. We have three guys that I rode to Charlottesville back that time we went up there. We have Rich Hamblin, we have Gene Andrews, and Matt the Mole. We had Rich the Bearded Wonder, Gene the Bitter Ender with the bloody sword. Sword's always bloody. And Matt the Mole. I guess I'll start off with, since you guys hadn't been on a long time, Gene's been on a while. Rich, how are you doing tonight, brother?
Well, I'm doing fine, Eddie. I'm glad to be on.
I'm glad you're on. And how are you doing, Matt?
Well, I'm doing as well as can be expected in the year 2022 in this, what was formerly the United States of America. So, yeah, things are good. Thank you for having me on as well.
Thank you for coming on. And as soon as I introduce Gene, I hope you guys know what you want to do because this is your show. I want you guys to do any kind of analysis you want, describe what it was like that day, what it was like traveling to and fro. What's changed? Anything you want to talk about? But we'll bring in one more fellow with you. He's always late because he's having to clean his damn sword all the time. But anyway, how are you doing tonight, Bitter Ender?
Doing very well, Eddie. Thank you very much. It's an honor to be on with y'all and having traveled up to Charlottesville with you and survived the Battle of Charlottesville. And believe me, it was a combat situation. There's no doubt about that. We were under attack by the so-called law enforcement. We were under attack by Antifa. We were under attack by these black animals and that had been bought and paid for by George Soros and bussed into Charlottesville. I know Rich can tell you a lot more about the details than I can, but it was definitely a setup deal. It was an attempt to crush the conservative or any right-wing group in this country, and it was a conspiracy by the government in Charlottesville, the state of Virginia, and the national so-called Department of Justice to try to shut up any kind of opposition or anybody that was defending traditional American heritage. So that's my take on what it was and how it was set up, and we walked into it just point-blank range.
How about it, Rich? I bet you would have a great follow-up on that.
Well, it was an interesting day, that's for sure. Didn't really know what we were going to expect going up there. Of course, this is the same summer when they had all those free speech rallies out in Berkeley and places like that, and, you know, and there were basically street fighting going on. We wanted to avoid that, but the three of us were wearing, we were wearing ride helmets and face shields. So, we kind of expected the worst, but I didn't know it would get this bad, especially seeing how the organizer had got a last minute stay from the federal court, preventing the city of Charlottesville from revoking our permit to meet. So it was a warm day. It got pretty hot during the day, both physically and figuratively. And Matt, why don't you kick in and give your impressions of it? I've got a lot more I can say, but I don't want to leave you out.
A lot of people had to come from all over the country who were attending this rally. It wasn't something that it was most people, it was not their hometown. It was trying to stand up for the removal of our heritage in Virginia, which was the heart of the Confederacy. So you really need to understand the climate of the day is that he was talking about the riots going on by Antifa in Berkeley. What had come to the South up to that point was at the campus at, I think it was, what campus was it in Alabama?
What are you talking about, where Spencer was speaking?
It was at Auburn.
Auburn University, yeah. So we'd seen that, and there was not much to speak of as violence, so to speak.
Don't forget New Orleans.
And Yeah, New Orleans had already removed the statues there, correct?
No.
Okay.
No, they were demonstrating against it, but no. But the league was down there in force.
Okay, so my point is that the people who were attending the rally had not been in a combat situation on the streets in southeastern America at that point, really. We had seen the rioting of Antifa in certain parts of the country, but we were prepared with defensive gear in case they brought that. But none of us really expected what was already prepared for us. I say it was prepared because the thing that really stuck out to me the morning of us being there, the morning of the rally, we woke up early to start out, and I read what was their liberal newspaper for their campus at the time, the Daily Progress, and they basically just told us outright that they had prepared all of the city's police and all of the they had talked about having priests come out against us. They had prepared large action groups on the streets to counter us. So the city was more than well prepared to meet us out on the streets to exercise our freedoms. So that's what I would chime in and say.
It was definitely a hostile environment.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Charlottesville is supposed to be the only time I'd been there previously was when I took my son up to University of Pennsylvania about, I don't know, 15 years ago, I guess. And it seemed like, you know, a southern college town and nothing out of the ordinary, what you'd expect around a college town. But this time when we came into the town, when we arrived there, I mean, it was definitely a charged atmosphere. There were these rainbow banners hanging over the streets. We drove by the site of the rally the afternoon that we arrived before we went to the lodgings. And, there were all kinds of barricades fencing off the area. And I was really kind of surprised or shocked at how small it was, to be truthful. And we found out really how small it was the next morning because we weren't even allowed to have the full use of the park. In fact, we couldn't even approach the statue. So, like Richard said,
we went over there on Friday night to plan where we were going to park and how we were going to get from the parking garage to the Lee Park there. And they had these temporary metal fences set up, and there was one half the park was divided off from the other half, and there was kind of like a chute down through the middle of it. And we figured, okay, the Antifas or Antifas, whatever you want to call them, be on one side, we'll be on the other side, and the police will be in the middle, and that'll keep the two groups apart. And the whole thing was, we had a permit to be there, and it was turned down by the city of Charlottesville, and then a federal court reinstated it. So we had followed the rules to be there and speak out in defense of the Lee statue in Lee Park, a Virginian in Virginia. And, you know, to us, that just seemed like common sense right there. And so we didn't think the permit was from, I think, what was it, Rich, 11 to 1, something like that.
We weren't allowed to get until 10 o'clock.
Yeah, so we figured, okay, we'll go and make our speeches, and they can holler and yell and scream, because we've been seeing some of these yahoos before, and they have bullhorns and speakers, and they try to shout you down and holler all kind of profanities and everything. And, we figured it was just typical of what they do. We had no idea that the police department and the Virginia Highway Patrol and the National Guard, they had called out and everybody was going to be lined up against us, but they were.
We got to go to our first break. People, hang on your seat. We'll be right back to this riveting interview.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine. the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Oh, dear Blood River Radio family. Listen, just to let you know again, this is our first of a series we're going to do this weekend, and we're also going to do next weekend. We're doing our anniversary of this is the fifth anniversary of Charlottesville. I consider this a very solemn event, a very solemn broadcast. I don't like to call this Blood River Radio a show. I don't consider it a show strictly entertainment. It's not. I consider Blood River Radio, to me, it's sacred. You can laugh at me if you want to. I don't care. But, and it's also, listen, it's dedicated. I'm going to let you know again. We're dedicating this show tonight to all of our people that are still in prison in Charlottesville. We had one fellow who was only 18 years old when he was locked up. He's out now. I won't tell you his name. We have one fellow who's just 20. His mother's going to be on later tonight. And he's still in prison. They're riding up there for merely just having a slug fest with a bunch of feral Negroes. And with that, I'm going to shut up. Rich, let's go back to you, fella.
Well, where do we want to take it? I guess the league. I was the state chairman for the Tennessee League of the South at the time, and the league had decided it was going to be a big event for the league to demonstrate up here. The league had previously done demonstrations down at New Orleans in defense of the Lee statue. Then there was an event up in Pikeville, and in Pikeville there was Antifa showed up in force, and the police actually did their jobs and separated the Antifa from the league people and the other people that had come up there. So we were kind of expecting, you know, the same thing. There would be identifiable barriers between the two sides, and you know, we'd go up there and hear our speeches and you know, wave our flags and all that kind of stuff, and then we'd pack up and go home. From the very beginning, it was we had to fight our way into the park. The league and the various groups that were with it formed up a column of four, probably, I don't know, maybe 300-400 men and women, and marched down from the Market Street Garage, which we had been reconnoitered the previous night, and that was right next to the police station. And we figured that was probably as good a place as any to park the vehicle where we have the least amount of interference. So we formed up in the garage and then proceeded to march. I don't know how far was it, Gene, about a quarter of a mile or so. It wasn't all that long. It was three or four blocks. And so when we got to the park, the column had halted temporarily, momentarily, because there was a line of clergy that had linked arms and was blocking the entrance into the park. And so there was a momentary moment of hesitation, and then Michael Hill and Michael Tubbs just basically lowered the shoulders, and with the front rank, we had the shield barriers on the front ranks of the column, and we had to basically break our way through those quote-unquote clergy, the probably the most ungodly clergy that's ever walked the face of the earth. And then we made our way into the park. And when we got up in there, there was, like from what we saw the day before, there were barricades dividing the park into two sections. And it stopped short of the Lee statue, so that left the whole back half of the park unoccupied by us. There was a line of state police and, I guess, local cops. Mostly state police, I think, were occupying the park, so we could only fill in to a certain part of that. Now, meanwhile, there's a howling mob on the other side of the street that's throwing stuff at us. In fact, before Matthew even, while we were waiting there to move into the park, Matthew got clocked by some kind of container of pinkish liquid that caught him on the helmet and splattered down and got on his clothes and got on actually the flag he was carrying too. So, I mean, stuff was hurling through the air and, you know, words and projectiles. And so, and this is all around 10 o'clock is when we were, you know, the event was supposed to start at 12, or excuse me, at 11. And they were up there messing around with the PA and all this kind of stuff. In the meantime, people were drifting in from both directions. There were, you know, there were a lot of groups there. There were a lot of, it wasn't just us. It was a lot of different people like Vanguard America and various, certainly other folks who were coming from the other direction. And a lot of these were youngish guys. And I guess they were expecting a picnic because a lot, you know, a lot of them were dressed in khakis and polos and just, you know, they weren't really expecting, you know, any kind of opposition. I guess they, you know, they didn't believe it or you know, chose not to believe it. And the league ended up with the shield wall, which protected the entrance of the park where we were. We were on the, what was that, the eastern end? I don't remember the cardinal directions on there. But we had like a rapid reaction team of guys, younger guys in the league that would go out and rescue people that got surrounded by the mob who were trying to make their way into the park to join the demonstration. So it was, you know, it got to be a melee. And of course, the other side, you can watch the video. There's still a lot of it up on the internet. And they were armed with clubs and bats and they were, had coolers full of frozen drink bottles. And, you know, they were just, you know, they were not friendly. Let's put it to you this way. And they, of course, they came from all over the place. They bushed in people like that. And we saw a BLM flag from New York City and there were just a lot of Antifas there. In fact, there were a lot of people there that were recognized as participating in other demonstrations or other riots, I guess, around the country. People from, you know, that we recognize from Cincinnati and New Orleans and wherever else. I mean, there's you know, there are these people that I don't, you know, they got to be paid by somebody because they're making the circuit, and you know, and they played a big part in the ensuing problems we had trying to get out of the park. Y'all want to add anything to this?
I'd like to ask Gene a question, and then after Gene gives his answer, I'd like to ask Matt to get his take on the same thing, unless y'all have something else you want to speak about. You know, Matt and Gene, y'all heard Rich say that how orderly the demonstration was in Pikeville and pretty much so, I think, in New Orleans, but we know he said the difference in the way the police behaved in Pikeville versus the way the police behaved in Charlottesville. I'll ask you, Gene, first, if you don't mind. What other differences, what made such a huge difference besides just the police behavior in the way between Pikeville and Charlottesville? Go ahead, Gene. Do we lose Gene?
I can continue and answer that.
Go ahead, Matt.
I'll tell you my take on it. One of them is there was a lot more psychological operation stuff going on regarding Charlottesville. As I had previously talked about, I can't emphasize enough the planning that they took to counter red-blooded Americans who are, you know, trying to exercise their freedoms. I can't emphasize that enough. They're using the media and they're stoking up anti-freedom sentiment in the media. They're organizing their mobs and their rioters through the media. They were using their daily papers. They were using the national media at the time. to talk about injustices against whatever, you name it, fill in the blank. So there was a lot more psychological operation going on behind it, which indicates that there was a centralized control feature to Charlottesville. We later found out that a person who was the chief of the police department, Wes Bellamy, was really behind a lot of the organizing against our people. So he had organized one aspect of it I wanted to mention from my perspective was when we first got into the park, there was a whole group of police officers and standard police attire behind you. But at one point, they all marched out and they came back wearing like full SWAT regalia.
Yes.
And at that point, they start the riot control operations against us, not against Antifa. They say you must leave the park and you must leave the streets. They didn't enforce leaving the streets on the Antifa part. They pushed us out into the streets with Antifa. So there was a lot more coordination behind the assault on average Americans. So that's my answer.
One more question, Matt, before we go back, since we lost Gene. Now, you may not know this. I don't know. But I do know that the if you go to the state level, I just wonder if do you know anything about the difference between the governor of the state of Kentucky, the governor of the state of Virginia? You know, I can't remember the guy's name. I bet Rich does, who was the governor of Virginia. He was a big buddy with Bill Clinton, with the Clintons.
Terry McAuliffe.
Oh, there you go. We got Gene back.
Yeah, Terry McAuliffe, yeah. He was part of the Clinton crime syndicate. He was one of the ones that was helping fly the drugs in from Central America into Arkansas when Clinton was governor and Bush Sr. was, and them and all that crew were running the drugs into this country. McAuliffe was right smack dab in the middle of all of that. So, and then he became governor of Virginia, and that's who made the announcement that said you're permit, the Commonwealth of Virginia has declared a state of emergency. Your permit has been revoked, and you have some ridiculous time. I think it was 2 minutes to clear the area. So, and then that's when the Virginia Highway Patrol and the local cops jumped in there with all their Star Wars gear on and literally pushed us. Yeah. Literally pushed us out of the park, and I know I'd been talking to one of the Highway Patrol guys back and forth across that fence there. Thought he was a halfway decent person, and I said, "Look, if you'll get us out of here, we're more than willing to leave." And he said, "If you don't get the F out of here, you're going to jail right now." And they were using their shields to push us out, and I guess they may have already told you this, but you had to go up a set of steps to get into the park. So they pushed us off of that ledge, and you had about a 4-foot drop down to the sidewalk to get out of that park, and then you were pushed right into that mob waiting for you out there on Market Street. So, yeah, Matt was absolutely correct in that. It was just a set-up deal from the get-go by so-called law enforcement, and that was what was just really irritating and soured my opinion of cops from that day forward and the so-called justice department or justice system in this country. It's nothing but a rigged deal to try to silence anybody that's conservative, white, Christian, or has any Southern heritage that they're trying to defend. It's a set up deal from the federal government all the way down to the local government.
Guys, we're about out of time. I guess we'll go to the parting shot to Rich. Rich, I guess this is, do you have anything to add to that, Rich, before, if you don't, I'll have a question, but go ahead. Take us to the house, Rich.
Well, yeah, it was a concerted effort, and a highly organized effort for the very fact that all the resources that they marshaled out of there. When we were leaving the city, I mean, we passed by an encampment. It was several blocks away that was set up with like a command post, had concertina wire strung around it and all this kind of stuff. And there was all manner of buses and tents with antennas and all this kind of stuff. Poking up in the air. And of course we were constantly overflown by helicopters during the whole course of the afternoon. And so it was, yeah, I wouldn't give too much credit to Wes Bellamy, but I mean, it was a lot of other people that were pulling the strings, like Mike Siner. He's a Jewish mayor of Charlottesville, as well as Callaway coming out from McAuliffe at the very top.
Rich, my brother, we've run completely out of time, and I would like to thank you, Rich, and Eugene, and you, Matt, You were some of the most honorable people I've ever met in my life. God, what an honor to have you guys on. Thank you so much. We'll be talking to you guys again soon. People, you heard it. We've got to go transition to the second hour of Blood River Radio. And God, it's an emotional show. I'll be right back.